Come on.
Welcome to Money Savage, a savage approach to personal finance. This is George Grombacher, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, the strong and powerful Jen Hemphill. Jen, are you ready to do this?
Absolutely.
Excellent. Let's do this. Jen is an accredited financial counselor, a money confidence coach, and the host of the Her Money Matters and Su Dinero Importa podcasts. She's also a speaker and a successful author. I'm excited to have you on. Jen, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Sure. Well, thank you so much, George, for having me on the podcast. I'm excited to do this. And a little bit about me. As you mentioned, I'm a money confidence coach. I basically focus on helping women in the financial education piece, basically making money simple. And so they can win with their money. So just so they can manage money with ease. And that's not to say that money, how we do money or what we need to do with our money varies by gender, right? It's the same how we have to manage the money, but how we think and how we perceive, and that is different between males and females. So I focus on just making it simpler. It's just more of a woman's perspective on money.
Fair enough. Well, I definitely want to get into some of the differences that you've experienced between men and women when it comes to money. I was looking on your website, which I really enjoyed. There's a ton of great information. And one of the statements was that money mindset is the foundation to your success. So I wanted to sort of start with that.
Sure. So that is a piece that I definitely focus on, because with one thing that I didn't mention is how I teach is more of a holistic approach. What we're used to hearing you and I know that financial education, we have a long ways to go. It's out there, but in the schools, it's not there enough.
Sure.
But when we do hear, or when we are taught financial education, it's just basically it comes to save more, spend less, and get out of debt, right? That's essentially the messages that we hear day in and day out when we're taught money. What we're missing is the mindset piece, because if you think about it, when we grow up, we all have some sort of experience around money. It can be positive, negative, a combination of the both, and it impacts how we perceive money and how we think about money, whether we fear money, whether we have a scarcity mindset, whether we have an abundant mindset. So it's important to understand how you grew up around money, because in my opinion and in my experience, I strongly feel that those skills that we're taught when we are taught, you know, how to budget and how to save, how to invest, those things, it's an important piece, but it's just a small piece of the puzzle. Whereas for me, it's like, I talk about this in my book, where there's three components of what I call the money headquarters, and those money skills, which is how to budget and how to save, that's about 10% of those of that money headquarters, whereas the mindset, how we think about money, our money stories are about 60%, and money actions is the remainder, where money actions, some of it is talking money, which we don't do, right?
Right.
You and I are,
sure.
But in general. So it's a piece that we don't think about. Maybe in the entrepreneur space, we talk about more mindset because we do more of a lot of personal development. But in the 9-to-5 world, we don't really necessarily hear about money mindset or mindset in general.
And I totally agree with everything you just said, and it's music to my ears, certainly. Why do you suppose it is that the mainstream is just, it's focused on, for lack of a better number, that 10% and does not spend a lot of time on the other 90, the mindset and then the actions?
I think because we're behind on what is finance, you know, really what should be in financial education, because we just think the traditional stuff, right? The skills. And I think it's just a matter of really shifting our, for lack of a better word at the moment, our mindset as to what is really important, right? Because right now we just think that if we save more and we spend less and we get out of debt, all is good. but not necessarily, because we can be miserable. We could, because maybe we're just, because I know for me in our early part of my marriage, I grew up with a scarcity mindset where my parents always, I always heard, we don't have the money. We can't afford it. So into my adulthood, I knew I was going to work and have more money. But because of that, in the back of my mind, because I didn't recognize it, I was this, became this frugal person. And not frugal to, like, there's nothing wrong with being frugal, but more of a hoarder in the sense of not items necessarily.
Sure.
But I've had a fear of spending on what's not considered a necessity. Right. So it was, so in our marriage, that put a dent in things, because my husband was brought up in the mindset, you work to make money so you can enjoy life. Right. Mm-hmm. And in my view, I was like, yeah, you work to make money, but you got to save.
Right. All of it.
But you know, you right. Right. All of it. So that's no way to live. And I think, and I was the one that, you know, I'm the one that has read those personal finance books. Right. And that's what, so I was more, and I've progressed, right? I've been such a by the book person, but sometimes you have to think for yourself, right? Because really, when we read those personal finance books and when we hear personal finance experts speak, they're speaking to the masses, right? And the only expert in you and your personal finance situation is you, because they don't know all the factors and considerations in your life, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah, I totally agree. And if we've not taken the time to really explore and dive into that previous experience with money to understand how it informs and how it impacts our current attitudes and mindset with money, then, you know, to your point, everything you've been talking about, I don't think that we've done a complete enough job. So,
right.
And again, completely agree. And it's certainly, you know, although there's a lack of financial education, I think it's getting better and better. I think that most people intellectually understand, yeah, I should probably be spending less than I make, and I probably should be saving money. Just like I know that I probably shouldn't be eating cheeseburgers and fries for every meal, and I should probably exercise a little bit. But it's that whole behavioral thing.
Exactly.
Why is it that so many Americans struggle with money, do you think? Or am I asking the same question? That why?
No, I think it's a little different. It's because I think, I mean, we know what we need to do, just like you said, and you struck on it. We know what we need to do, but why aren't we doing it? And that's what we don't dive into. Or if we start thinking about it, we have this sense of overwhelm, or we have anxiety, you know, some anxiety come up on us, and we don't deal with that. But it's just a matter, or we have that fear, right? So we just, it's a matter of just addressing it, because if we don't address it, and it's not a, if we don't address it now, and at least get it down on paper. And sometimes just the power of pen or pencil to paper, just, it just kind of alleviates what you have inside you, right? Just getting it out.
Yeah.
And if we don't address that now, it's good. I mean, we're not gonna progress, right? So it's just a matter of really diving deep into, and it's not, there's no like rigid way to do this. There's not maybe other people in the world of psychology or behavioral psychology have a better, I'm not in that world. I mean, but it's just a matter of asking yourself some simple questions, like, or as looking, reflecting, I talk about your money stories in the book, your past, present, and future. So your past is just basically how you grew up around money, what you saw, what you heard, right? And writing what that is. And then your present money story is, what is, you know, what are your thoughts and perceptions? How do you feel about money? What comes up when a bill comes due, or some unexpected expense comes? Like, what happens now? And you have to, and you want to compare that past money story to the present. Because if we're not acknowledging that past money story, chances are those things that don't serve us, we are repeating that cycle. Right. So we have to address that and see, OK, what is that present money story looks like in comparison to the past? And then our future money story is where we want to improve. Like, how do we want to feel about money? Right. Because people, if I ask, when I've done workshops and spoken, if I ask who here is excited to look at the bank account, no one says a word.
Or if everybody's sitting on their hands.
Just a couple. Yeah. Just a couple people, because it's, one, money is taboo to talk about. And And it's just not something that people get excited about because there's a lot of fear and overwhelm and anxiety, whatever's going on in their financial lives. So that future money story is more related to how do I want to feel about money? What do I want my life to look like?
All really, I think that it's such great stuff. And I think it's also super important to help people to understand that this is not a super complicated process or a super painful process that you need to engage in. It really is just asking the questions. When you were growing up, what did you see with money? What did you hear with money? Start there and progress through those questions you just went through. And if you actually take the time mm-hmm. and put pen to paper, I think that that'll have a positive impact for the rest of your life, just taking 10 minutes to do that. So important.
Right. And I think it's important to write it down because we can answer those questions in our mind, but it's better just to get it on paper. And I was one of those people that really rebelled against that at the beginning. Why? Sure. I have the answer in my mind. But so there's some power or some clarity that you gain as you write it, right? Because you start writing and you have it's interesting what formulates and what progresses from there, because you start, it just involves more. It really, as you write down, you get more clarity.
It's 100% true. I know that I don't know the statistics, but I know that there's a huge disparity between people that have no goals, people that have goals but haven't written them down, and then the people that actually have goals and have written them down. It exponentially increases our chances of getting there. There's this great, a really powerful speaker named Mel Robbins. I don't know if you're familiar with Mel or not.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
She's got this great, yeah. I think it's a TED talk or just a talk, but she talks about the F word, and it's the F word is fine. And it's I'm fine, uh-huh. I'm fine. And it keeps us sort of in the same rhythms or the same ruts if they're negative, and it stops people from really getting to where they want to be. I think that's a lot of what you were talking about. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Would love to dig into a little bit about budgeting, because I also think that's something that people really don't enjoy doing, myself included. I'm grateful that my wife takes care of our budget and makes sure we go through it on a consistent basis. I know that you work around the budgeting quite a bit, so I'd love to talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, with budgeting, one thing I tell people is, your budget is just a piece of what you need to carry out your financial goals, to manage your money. So your budget essentially is the tool. So it's a plan for your money. That's where you put all your numbers. And then you also need a system that is actually, because the budget, you put the numbers in, and then if you don't implement them, right? So if you don't do anything with them, it's not going to do you any good. So really the system is what puts that budget into action. So the system is more of, for example, there's that cash envelope. I do a lot of virtual envelopes, which is different accounts, which is very similar to the cash, just in virtual accounts, or just a combination of the two. So how are you going to manage your money? I mean, there are apps where you can have those virtual envelopes, but I'm more of a fan of separating that money physically because it's easier to track. But I'm a visual person, so it's easier for me to track mm-hmm. that way versus adding up. I'm about efficiency as well versus sure. taking all the receipts and looking through them and adding up, okay, this was for groceries and this was for household items. Oh my goodness, that's just, that's a little crazy. So really, with budgeting, it's important to know it's a tool, but it also needs a system to work it. And the other part that I always talk about that I think is important, because a big mistake that people make with their budget is the system piece where, and this, for example, especially with the non-monthly expenses. So we all are good for the most part at paying the bills, right? We get your income and we get our income and we pay the bills. Are those fixed bills that we get month after month, or even groceries that can vary from month to month, we're good, pretty much good at that, right? But it's those non-monthly expenses. So let's say Christmas, gifts, travel, or I've got kids, so there's sports, right? Or camps, things of that sort, clothing, haircuts that we just kind of spend, but we really need to account for that in the budget. And some people do. They put it in the budget, but then it stays in the budget, which means it doesn't get implemented. So I'm a big fan of separating those non-monthly expenses. So figuring out how much approximately are you spending on gifts or clothing or haircuts. And it doesn't have to be perfect, because the other keys to this, when you budget, you need to be flexible for your, with yourself. It takes time. Life happens. Life changes. We have to tweak it. And that's just the ever-ending thing with the budget. It's not going to stay the, remain the same all the time. So I'm a big fan of figuring out what those non-monthly expenses are, dividing it approximately, dividing it by a monthly number, seeing how that fits into your cash flow, so your income and how it fits with all your expenses and your income. And then from there, you separate it out. So you can have what's called a reserve account. You can have, however, you know, I have different accounts for different things. So the gift has its own account. The travel has its own account. Obviously, emergency savings has its own account. But other people might be comfortable with putting the gifts and the clothing and the haircuts and those type of things in one account. So those things, I think, are very critical when budgeting. Is one, knowing that it's just, it's a tool, it's a plan for your money. Two, you need a system, which is whether a cash envelope system, depending on if you're more accountable to yourself with cash, a virtual envelope system, a combination of the two. And three, to make sure that you really incorporate those non-monthly expenses and that you're setting that aside, because what happens is that when you go, like Christmas, that's why people end up getting into credit card debt over Christmas, is that they're not necessarily putting that money aside throughout the year. So, but the income is going to, you know, depending, right? Let's say generally it stays the same, but it's over Christmas time, what the expenses are going to exceed their normal income. But if you are setting that money aside, you're not disrupting from the other bills that you have to pay.
Got it. Nice. I think that that's excellent advice. And yes, it is a living, breathing thing that needs to be looked at and watched after and updated and everything else. So,
absolutely.
And confidence, what, how does confidence fit into all this?
That is a big part. So confidence, we can have confidence in different areas of our life. But if we, and I know, and this is in general terms, so for the women listening, if you're very confident on money, don't throw anything at me. But in general, women tend to be not as confident around money matters, right? So confidence is going to set you back, because that also, when you're not confident, that also plays into your mind, right? So, oh, I fear, or I'm not good enough with budgeting, or I'm not a good saver, or I impulse spend too much, or I, each time I see Starbucks, somehow I'm in there spending, buying another cup of coffee. I'm not, you know, I'm not good at this, right? So if you don't have that confidence, then you're going to set yourself back. So confidence is, you know, things that you can do for confidence is, taking action. When you take action, you see progress, that boosts confidence. If you surround yourself with like-minded people, that helps with your confidence levels. If you listen to podcasts like yours, or read blog posts or read books that are finance related, that also helps you boost your confidence.
Nice. Yeah, I totally agree. I think that confidence could be a superpower for people, so it's so important.
Absolutely.
Well, Jen, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
My favorite tip of all time that is such a huge hit with my audience and clients is to celebrate money wins. And the reason why I always really hone in, you've got to celebrate money wins, is because we get so stuck sometimes on the day-to-day actions. Like, I don't know about you, Greg, but I know I live by checklists. And there's
sure.
that power when I mark something off, I'm like, ooh, that feels so good. And but if tends to happen is we look at our checklist, whether it's money related or not, and at the end of the day, we focus on like what we didn't get done, right? So let's say translating it to financial life. Oh, we didn't save money this week. And that's what stays in our mind versus thinking about what you did do well. So money, and so it's always good to celebrate money wins. So money wins can be whether save, it can be directly or indirectly related to money. So it can be about, oh, this, you've been saving money for the past 3 months in a row, where before it was just sporadic, or it can be you had a great conversation with your spouse that did not end in an argument. Another money win can be obviously paying off some debt, those type of things, or maybe that you stuck to your budget, or that you actually found a budgeting tool that you liked, things of that sort. But those, that's really important to do, is to keep track of that money wins, because when you need a confidence booster, you can look at that list of money wins that you've been tallying up, writing down, and it's just, so it's just an instant boost, because you know what, you automatically think, I've done all this, I've got this.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets a come on.
Come on.
Jen, thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you?
Sure, and thank you for having me. Simply at jenhemphill.com.
Excellent. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Jen your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to jenhemphill.com. And like I mentioned earlier, she has a ton of great stuff on the site. There's a lot of great resources. So definitely check that out. Thank you again, Jen.
Thank you for having me. You have a good one.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, because we are all in this together.
What's up, Savage Nation? Please support the show by subscribing, leave us a review, and definitely feel free to share us with somebody you think would like it.
Come on!